This conference is being recorded.
This is Luke Allison from CriticalBench.com, and I'm here with Jarrett Bachmeier. Jarrett, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Thank you for stopping by. First of all, tell the listeners a little bit about your background, sort of what sports you're involved in, and just give them a little bit of insight into who you are.
I've basically been doing sports since I was, 3 or 4 years old. And pretty much anything that I could get competition in, that's what I kind of went towards. And I played, basketball, football, baseball, and track all through junior high and high school. And then after I got out of school, I didn't really have, a whole lot left as far as like organized sports. And I've always been into lifting since, probably the beginning of high school. And then I just kind of heard about powerlifting from like a buddy and kind of took interest from there, and then went to my first meet, I think it was in 2003, and it's kind of been hooked ever since.
So would you say more interested in the weightlifting and the strength rather than the sports, or was it just kind of both at the same time?
I always lifted, to help me be better in the sports. While I was doing them, I was into, being, somewhat, light and agile and fast and stuff. But now that I'm not really into the sport side of it, I'm more interested in just strength, gaining strength, getting better at benching. I've been training lately for the squat and the deadlift, so I can do a 3-lift meet here sometime in the near future. So I've just kind of gradually been expanding from just getting strong to bench to kind of get my whole body, and just I enjoy doing that, and I enjoy, helping and training other guys and helping them get better too. It's, that's always fun to see people like progress and see like big gains from them. Also, I'd rather see them myself, but it's also fun to help people out.
Now, one of the things we wanted to focus on in talking to you was the bench press. And the idea seems to be, you want to be good at something, go to those that are really good. And Tyler seemed to sort of have the technique down for the bench press. Talk a little bit about that.
When I started, I didn't train very smart. I didn't really know what I was doing all that well. And I just had, I've always been strong, but not what it needed, to be like a top caliber like person for like a national meet. And I was always like decent at benching. I grew up in Spokane. I was training there, and then I ended up moving down to Reno. I started training with Chad Ikes and a few of the guys that he trains with. And after being down here for about 6 months, I went from like a mid, 500-pound bencher to like a low to mid 700-pound bencher. So there's definitely, your technique in benching is way more important than actually just being strong. So like my knowledge of like how to train technique and the actual lift of the bench press has changed tons, and therefore like my actual max bench has gone way up.
Now, you mentioned training with Chad. For people that don't know who that is, talk a little bit about sort of how strong he is and how important it is to have a group like that, because people seem to think that you can train and be really strong by yourself, and that just doesn't seem to be the case.
It's possible. So you can't say that you can't do it, but like one of my main problems up in Spokane was I trained with people that were okay at benching, but none of them really knew how to tell me that I was doing something wrong. And if you're doing something wrong constantly, you're never going to get that much better and move forward if you're stuck doing either like a wrong movement or wrong types of training. So as soon as I got down here, like Chad, Scott, and Ethan are like the three main guys that I train with, and they're all super knowledgeable at every lift, and they're also all three good at all three lifts. So you got, Chad, which, he's like as big as a house. He's gone like a 27-33 total, and he's benched, I think it's 821 in a meet. So hearing and having someone coach you that's one of the best at what they do definitely helps. So I mean, if I do something wrong during a workout or training, You know, whereas in Spokane, I never really got told that I was doing something wrong. Whereas from those three guys, they're never short on words, and they always tell you exactly what you're doing wrong, and they definitely make sure that you know it. So anytime you can take what you're doing wrong and fix it, and if you have a weakness that's causing you not to go forward in the bench press or any of the other lifts, those guys make sure that I know that so I can fix that and not do it anymore, or make sure that weakness becomes, you know, a strong point in whatever lift I'm doing.
Now, a lot of guys seem to think that, you know, it's Monday, it's time to flop on the bench, throw on, you know, 135, maybe 185, and just, you know, do a couple reps. How wrong is that in terms of an approach in your experience?
Well, it all depends on, you know, what your goals are and what you're trying to do. I'm a firm believer in you're not going to get stronger unless you handle and lift, you know, maximum weight, you know, for you, or sometimes even more weight than you're capable of. As long as you get the weight in your hands and you, you know, try it, and at least, you know, if you can, while you're taking it down, if you're strong enough where you need to be to take it down in control and into the right spot, even if you can't press it back up, you're still going to be training your central nervous system and your body to be able to handle heavier weight. So like by handling light weight, you're never really going to gain a whole lot of strength. You might gain endurance and, you know, be able to do more reps with that weight, but you're probably not going to ever increase the actual weight that you're able to press.
Now, aren't there certain sort of techniques that a power lifter would do, things like arching, getting back up on your traps, tucking your elbows, that really sort of make a difference, not only in terms of how far you need to move the bar, but how much weight you can handle?
Yeah, definitely. Like your setup and stuff before you even start benching is like key. I always tell people if you start in the wrong position, it's that much harder to finish the lift in the right spot. So like I don't look like it, but I actually have fairly long arms. So if I put my arms out laying flat on the bench, I probably have, you know, close to a 20-inch range of motion. But like you were saying, you know, if you tuck your shoulder blades, get up as high on your back and your traps as you can, get as big of an arch as you can, and then while you're lowering the weight, you want to, you know, tuck your elbows. I usually try and touch, you know, if I'm doing it raw, I touch around my first ab, but if I'm in my shirt, I usually go down and try and touch around my second ab, whereas like my abs, I'm able to push them up a lot further than my chest. So yeah, you're actually, I can probably take like a good 10 to 14 inches off my bench stroke. So, you know, if you're handling a maximum weight, you definitely want to move that as short as you possibly can. So there's definitely like a lot of bodybuilders and guys that just bench just for fun and stuff. They'll bench, you know, with their elbows out, using more pec and shoulders, and they'll touch, you know, at their pecs. So around that area, which there's not necessarily nothing wrong with that, but you're using, you know, your pec and shoulder muscles, which are a lot more susceptible to, you know, injuries and tweaking stuff, whereas if you bench with an arch, tuck your elbows, take the weight a little bit lower, you're not going to be able to take the weight as low raw as you will on a shirt, but you can still somewhat get it a little bit lower, and that takes a lot of the stress off your shoulders and your pecs, and it puts it more on your lats, and your lat is a lot bigger and stronger muscle than your pec and your shoulder have the chance of being. So anytime you can do that, you use your lats more. So in training your accessory work, you have to really, really hit your lats hard, different motions, and get them strong enough to be able to use them correctly while benching like this, or you're not going to be able to bench like this, you know, effectively or very heavy. So like when benching like a powerlifter, you normally will use more lats and then triceps towards the top of the lift and the lockout, whereas a lot of people that just kind of bench for fun use a lot more pec and shoulders.
Now, if you had someone come to you that was sort of interested in being sort of much better at the bench press, they were going to change their form like you just described, they were going to, you know, sort of do the prescribed assistance work, what does a workout look like that they would be doing? Is it 3 days a week? Is it 1 day a week? What's the volume like? Go into that for a second.
Well, like the first thing that I always tell people that I either like start to help or, you know, if they want to start training with me, is I tell them is when you start benching like me and like, you know, powerlifters do, you're not going to be as strong as you were benching your old way because you don't have those muscles built in condition yet to be able to handle heavier weight. So the person's got to know that, and they have to be okay. You know, they got to like put their ego aside for a little bit and know that they're going to be a little bit weaker to start off with, but by, you know, 4 to 6 weeks in the training, they're going to be, you know, right back to where they were, and then shortly after that, they're probably going to fly past their old max and start moving on to heavier weights with the chance, you know, a lot less chance of getting injured or tweaking a pec or shoulder. I'm in the gym usually twice a week. I do my legs, and like I do a max effort heavy leg day with some other back and a little bit of like shoulder work in that day, and then that's on a Monday, and then on Thursdays that's when I bench normally. I try and train heavy like in my shirt every week. I don't do full range pressing very often because it tends to be a lot harder on my body and a lot harder to recover from. So normally I'll work down to like a one or a two board, which you can do in a shirt or raw. Normally I have, you know, a heavy set that I work up to failure normally on the bench, and then I will do a heavy tricep workout along with the bench right after that. Either like a close grip bench off of a four or a five board, and then I'll alternate it up every week to change things up. And sometimes I'll do like inclined like dumbbell tricep extensions. I'll do like CAS presses, which I normally do on like a Smith machine, where you like keep your elbows tucked, you know, bring the weight down towards your face, similar to a skull crusher, but it's more towards like the bench press side than the tricep side. I always try and do like one heavy tricep workout right after benching, and then I will also train my lats really heavy. I generally try to think of it as like any of the muscles that I'm really using for bench press, I try and train them all in the same day, so they all get hit really hard, and then like the rest of the week I have, you know, time to let those rest up and recover and get ready for the next week. So anything like I try and get hit my lats after tries, then I will go on to my upper back, which is also super important on keeping your shoulder blades tucked. And if you're under a lot of weight, those got to be strong enough to keep your shoulder blades tucked under, the heavier weights. And I'll do like face pulls, some dumbbell rows, some seated rows with cables, that sort of thing. And then I'll do like my light shoulder accessory work with like cables, you know, just like lateral extensions, and then a little bit of rotator cuff work, and then sometimes I'll throw in like a shoulder press, either with dumbbells or a bar.
Okay, I can see, and probably the listeners can too, that this can get pretty involved. You know, this can get sort of as serious as you want it to be in terms of programming. If someone is maybe sort of not as familiar with those exercises and they're not very good with the bench press, say they're struggling with, you know, 135 on the bar, are you going to have them look at, you know, maybe push-up variations, maybe a floor press variation, maybe some dumbbell presses first as an introduction?
Not necessarily, because I've recently I started training a little tiny guy. I actually work with him. He wasn't able to bench 100 pounds, I don't think. I think we were starting with, you know, like a bar and some 10s, I think, for a while. You know, he's super skinny. After, like, it was 4 weeks, I had him benching 135. He was able to do that for like a rep or two. So I think like the main thing that keeps people from being able to lift, like just starting out, that keeps them from being able to lift, you know, moderate heavy weights for them, is they're weak in the other areas that need to be strong with trying to bench. So like you can always start out light, and then I always tell people, like, you know, like the lats are like one of the main important things for benching. So in the beginning weeks, I always try and get them to hit their lats, you know, like as heavy as they can. I'll normally have them hit them twice a week so they can try and get them jump started and able to keep up with the benching on how they're trying to do. If you're weak, you're not going to be able to just jump in and start benching a lot of weight, but I think you can always, you know, benefit in, like, getting used to benching the proper way is also, like, a huge thing. Like, most people, when they first start out, they're not used to taking the bar down a little bit lower, tucking their elbows and that sort of thing. So I think getting the reps in, even if it is with lighter weight, that's generally going to help them get used to it and get comfortable with taking the bar where it needs to go. Even if it is lightweight, they just need time to get used to it.
Now, one thing I think that I've definitely heard again and again is the importance of the lat training. And that's something that I've come across from several different people who actually will advocate a 2-to-1 pulling to pushing ratio. Is that something that you think is probably appropriate?
Probably, yeah, because normally I'll train my lats on bench day. I will go with a wide and a narrow grip. I'll do, you know, sets as heavy as I can and do, you know, like 3 or 4 sets on my bench day. And on my leg day, I'll hit them again with just a wide grip, and I'll go like a little bit lighter and just try and get, you know, like a few more reps and work on technique a little bit better and like squeezing it hard at the bottom. And the one thing that I try and do is I gear all of my back work around my bench. So when I do my lat pulls, I lean back a little bit further than like normal people do. I will try and tuck my elbows while I'm pulling the weight down like you would benching. And I try and pull the bar down to like my second ab while I'm doing them also. So all of my rowing and pull downs and things like that, I always try and keep as close to my bench form as I can to try and mimic that. So I am strongest right where I need to be with my bench form. And like your lats, like I was saying, like you just mentioned, they are like, in my opinion, the most important thing for benching, either in a shirt or not. There's one thing I think that helps me bench a lot more in my shirt than most people is, yeah, I have really, really strong lats, and then while you're in a shirt, it kind of helps tuck your elbows in for you and allows you to kind of cheat a little bit and use a little bit more force and not try and tuck them in so hard because the shirt helps a little bit. So when you start benching raw, you don't have that shirt to help pull your elbows in. So it's all you, and you have to make sure that your elbows are tucked in, and the only thing that's going to hold them there is your lats. So when I noticed when I took a little bit of time off from benching heavier raw, I was just in my shirt for the most part, and I kind of slacked off on my lats a little bit. And then after like a month or so, when I tried to bench raw, my raw bench was way down because I wasn't able to hold my elbows and stuff in as tight as I normally could have because I kind of slacked a little bit on my lats. So it's like once you know how to, you know, keep your elbows tucked and use your lats properly, you can definitely tell right when, you know, that they start getting weaker or that's like your weak point, because right as you're lowering the weight, if they're not strong enough to keep your elbows in, they're going to flare, and then you're going to lose the lift right there.
Now, as you, on the days or the workouts where you're working with submaximal weights, what type of method do you like? Do you work with a certain percentage? Do you work, you know, speed or dynamic effort, or do you do repetitions? Explain how your workouts go and why you do what you do, basically.
I don't really ever do speed work or dynamic work. I usually just go pretty much heavy all the time. I don't normally use a percentage. Like on my bench, I always just try and work up to failure, which is normally around 8. And like before I put my shirt on, I'll work up, you know, raw to either, you know, between 405 and 450 for like a set of 3, and I'll do like two sets there so I can keep my, I'm in the process of getting my raw bench back up to where it needs to be for me to be able to handle eight in my shirt. So I've been trying to get like two sets of three in with above 405 before I shirt up, try and get that back up to where it needs to be, because I, you know, like I mentioned, it was kind of getting a little bit weak, and then that can cause me, you know, the higher my raw bench is, I think the easier it's going to be for me to handle the heavier weight in my shirt. There is days where I feel like I just don't have it, which could be, you know, I'm just tired, or it could be from overtraining. So like normally, you know, if I feel like I'm having an off day, I'll just kind of go up and work up to like, you know, like six and a half, maybe 700 on the bench, and then I'll just call it good there. Like as far as my leg stuff goes, I normally try and push it fairly heavy, but like the same thing goes without. Like if I'm, while I'm lifting and the weight feels a little bit heavier than it should, I'll kind of just back it off a little bit, take it easier, and then try and use that as somewhat of a light day to rest up for my next day or the following week.
Now, one of the things that I noticed that following powerlifting, and maybe not everyone can relate to this, is different people seem to have different problems with the same lift. Some people press off the chest the first few inches. Other people, more common, seem to have problems with lockout, you know, extended elbow, stuff like that. Do you find, you know, that you can follow other people's training and maybe that gives you insight into cycling in different exercises?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's where I think where most people get a lot of their workouts from is from other people. And usually that comes from other, you know, successful people that are, you know, towards the top in whatever lift or training that they're looking to be doing. I mean, the more ideas and stuff that you can get and use those in your, the better off you're going to be, and the more variety and the more you change it up, the more you're going to keep your body guessing, and then that's going to allow you to get better at each lift. I think that's one of the main things that makes most of the really good lifters is they are able to either themselves or their coaching point out where their weakness is and fix that. So, you know, like if you're having a problem towards the lockout of the bench, you want to work off, you know, two, three, maybe even a four board, depending on how long your arms are and how long your bench stroke is. You know, everybody's shaped differently, so no two people are going to lift the exact same. So you can't say, like, you know, one set form or type of technique for lifting is going to work from person to person. You kind of got to find out what works best for you and make you as efficient and as good at doing that movement as you possibly can. And, you know, like we mentioned before, it's hard to do that on your own. So the better people you have around you to help you and tell you what you could do better or what you're doing wrong, like that's what makes the good people stand out from the best people, is when they do know that they have a weakness or a problem, either them or their people around them tell them that they do have a weakness or a problem and how to fix it.
You mentioned board pressing from various heights and sort of when you would incorporate that. I'm curious if you are a fan of lockouts, doing them in the rack, setting that at different heights, using the static overcome by dynamic. Is that something that you like or not really a fan?
I don't normally do like a whole lot of lockout training because that generally is like a strong point of my bench. I'm normally really strong and fast off the chest, and I can normally, after I get, you know, my elbow starting to flare towards the lockout, like if I can get to that point, then I seem to be able to lock out weight fast also. Which that's like, I used to have a problem. The weight would come off my chest, and it would slow down, and if I were to miss a lift, I would miss it right around a two-board. So that's why I started doing lots of two-board work. And then after a while of doing two-board work, anytime that you have a weakness or a slow point, I think you can benefit by starting from a dead stop from that point and then concentrate on pressing from that point. You know, like if you go down and touch your chest, you have the momentum from your chest to the tubular area. So that's not going to really show that you have a weakness. But if you start from that point, from a dead stop without the momentum, if that is a slow point or a weakness, you're going to have a hard time getting that bar moving from that spot. So that's why I started training that, and my tube order actually started becoming really, really strong, and then I stopped having that slow point or, you know, missing a lift right at that point. I think anytime that you're going to look into using boards or lockouts from a rack, you need to look at if you are missing lifts or you can see that the bar tends to slow down in a certain area, you want to, you know, train that portion of the lift. So, you know, like if you know that you have a weakness locking out, so you can get the weight, you know, from your chest, you know, to the three-quarter mark of your bench really, really fast, and then you tend to slow down or miss lifts at the lockout area, you can definitely benefit from doing, you know, four and five board pressing, maybe using a close grip bench with your benching off of a four or a five board, or doing, you know, rack lockouts from, you know, like 2 or 3 inches down from being fully locked out, and, you know, use, you know, more weight than you think you can do, and just try and work up to, you know, like, you know, failure, or get as heavy as you possibly can and try and get your triceps and that portion of your lift caught up, so it becomes, you know, not a weak point. You can also look at speed training or how to get more speed off your chest, because anytime you have more momentum and speed carrying you through the lift, that weak point is going to be that much easier to get through if you have a lot of speed going through that. So I think that's another thing to look at also. If you find yourself slowing down or having a weak point, if you can get the bottom half or under that faster, it'll make that point that much easier to get through.
Listening to that, it sort of reminds me that sometimes we can be a little bit sort of simplistic in saying, well, you know, maybe your weak point or your slow spot is at the bottom or at the top. And so, you know, there's this really sort of small list of prescribed exercises. But I think, like you mentioned, you can be weak at a two board or a three board or, you know, whatever sort of in between. And that it's sort of not only important to realize that, but sort of make the adjustments and maybe sort of see how people with similar problems train.
So what were you asking?
Well, I think possibly, I think people maybe overlook the fact that they could be, you know, sort of good at the bottom and the top, you know, sort of off the chest and lockout. But maybe they have a weight that's slow in the mid-range, and they're like, well, I don't understand. I'm good at the top and the bottom. You know, it seems like maybe that's a classification that kind of gets left out sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that could have been why, you know, I was stuck at where I was for, like, you know, like a year or two, because I, you know, it's tough to see yourself while you're benching, and if you don't have, you know, the coaches there or the guys that you train with, they you know, to point out that, you know, hey, you get the bar moving really, really good off your chest, but, you know, around the two or three board area, you know, you slow down quite a bit, and then that makes the lockout that much tougher. Or if you're missing lifts and you tend to miss them around the same area every single time, then that's definitely going to point out that, yeah, you have, you know, you may not miss lifts all that often, but if you're slowing down at that point, that creates that much more of a chance for you to miss the lift either there or shortly after, because you generally want to get that bar moving as fast as you possibly can from your chest and continue that speed all the way through the lockout, and that's going to make the whole lift that much easier. So, you know, just because, you know, you're good in one spot and good in another, it doesn't mean that you're good through the whole entire lift. So that's why you kind of need, you know, good people around you to be able to kind of watch and point out, you know, if you do have a slow or a sticking point, where it is, and, you know, the best ways to fix that.
As you talked about, you sort of train heavy most days, more days than days that you train light or moderate. What goes into sort of the preparation? Do you drink anything? Do you try to sleep extra? Do you have a routine that you follow just to sort of get whatever it is up so that you can handle heavy weights?
I don't really have anything that's like, you know, out of the norm. I was trying to get, you know, 8 hours of sleep before, like the day before I lift. I always try and get lots of water and food in me throughout the whole entire day so I don't go in, you know, hungry or dehydrated. The whole, like, training heavy every week, it took my body and my central nervous system probably like a good 6 months to get used to handling heavy weight every week. There was, while I was getting into trying that, because I wanted to get in my shirt and handle heavier weight more often. So I worked on that, and I found that the like the first day that I benched heavy, I would hit a good heavy lift. The following week after that, I'd be down like 25 to 50 pounds, and by the third week of going heavy, I was shot and totally worn out, and I, you know, was slow, was missing, you know, lifts that I hit easily 2 weeks prior to that. And, you know, it's just that comes from overtraining and your body and your central nervous system not being able to handle that much volume that heavy, you know, that often. And so it took my body, my CNS, probably a good 6 months to be able to handle that week in and week out and not suffer any, you know, speed or weight that I'm able to press. And now my body seems to recover a lot faster, and I'm able to go in, you know, week in and week out and hit, you know, within, you know, 25 pounds of my normal max on whatever, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, 4-inch pressing. It doesn't really matter anymore. I'm able to handle the maximum weight and not suffer from it.
Well, I think we're about out of time. I do want to remind the listeners that Jared has a training log that you can visit at the Critical Bench Muscle Forum, and you've also written a couple articles. Is that right?
Yep. I've got quite a few now, between 5 and 10. So, and a lot of those, you know, go into what I've been talking about as far as, like, your setup technique, getting the most speed and stuff off your chest. And I try and, you know, gear most of my trainings around shirted benching, but a lot of that can carry over to your raw bench also. So, you know, it's not really set, you know, that you have to train in a shirt to benefit from, you know, my types of training or techniques. It can, you know, it can benefit pretty much anyone.
That about does it, Jared. I'd like to thank you for the time and the willingness to share some good information. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.